Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shafty. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
5% of the targets to Shakir. Completed. It's behind Cooper, who brought it in. Pitched it back to Allen. Who's going to go to the goal line? And get in!
No!
Spectacular touchdown!
Oh, baby. Oh, man, that was tough. That was... Josh Allen got credited for not one but two touchdowns on that play. Passing touchdown and receiving touchdown as Buffalo rolls over the 49ers, 35-10. The Niners now dropped to 5-7. They've lost three games in a row in the playoffs. Feels like it's out of sight, out of mind. It's not happening. The chances are decreasing. They basically have to win out. And nobody believes in that right now. When you think about the guys who are out of the lineup, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Aaron Banks didn't play. McCaffrey's not going to play the rest of the season because that went outside. But we're going to start right here because there's four people I want to talk about today, maybe five. And Debo's one of them I want to talk about later today. Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle Shanahan, obviously. The safety position, Tig Brown, I'm just not impressed. I'm really not impressed whatsoever. But it's also Brock Purdy. And when we talk about Brock Purdy, we all believe he's a good quarterback, Shasky. And sweet good morning to everybody out there. But the difference in the $60 million a year quarterback is what we saw yesterday. And if you want to look at a box score and say, this guy only threw for this, or just watch the game. Josh Allen is a $60 million a year quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a $60 million a year quarterback. Joe Burrow, his team's struggling. That guy is worth every single cent. Hell, I even say Jalen Hurts is now starting to live up to the contract. He's played some really good football with the addition of Saquon Barkley. What we saw yesterday with Brock Purdy, and you can blame the snow, you can blame the injuries, you can blame the lack of weapons, but as Tom Brady said back when the Niners were playing Kansas City, Shasky, it doesn't matter who's out there. It's your job to elevate your team and your offense and your playmakers. And more times than not this season, and I like Brock Purdy. I don't want to make this a hit piece on Brock Purdy. But more times than not this season against the big boys, Brock Purdy has not elevated his weapons around him. And I have questions on what to pay him this offseason. Do you pay him 60? I sure the hell don't feel good with that. 50? I don't feel good with that. 40? I don't know about that either. The difference in elite quarterbacks. Brock Purdy could be a top seven guy if you want him. But the gap between Brock Purdy and Josh Allen is wider than the Grand Canyon, Chasky. It's wider than that, babe.
He looked closer to Derek Carr than he did Josh Allen, right? I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean,
That's just the Brock, I don't know, the shoulder, like, we can make a million excuses. Kittle's out there. Jordan Mason was still out there running hard. First-round pick Ricky Pearsall still out there. Juwan Jennings is out there. Debo's still out there. Like, you got to make plays, man. And all of these wet games and these snowy games, like, he fumbles the ball consistently. Like, it's just, look, we'll get into it deeper, and I got bigger thoughts just on, like, the team this morning as well as Brock Purdy, but I went on a deep dive, all right? He has faced some of the top dogs the last couple years, okay? And I'm not cherry-picking. These are just the facts. He's faced Joe Burrow. He's faced Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's a big dog, but people link him to us. Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love. I throw the other one away because he didn't play against Jordan Love this last week. Mahomes twice. Darnold, who was his backup. Stafford, Kyler, and Josh Allen. That's 9 different quarterbacks. 10 games. Brock Purdy has 9 touchdowns and 18 turnovers against the big dogs. You know what the big dogs?
How many turnovers?
He has 18 turnovers, 9 touchdowns, 18 turnovers.
That's 8. That's 9 games.
10 games.
10 games
against turnovers. 9 quarterbacks because he played Mahomes twice.
Wow.
Those other guys have 19 touchdowns and 8 turnovers. That's the difference right there. Like, some of these guys can put the team on their back, and you saw it with Stafford when he's missing Cooper Kupp, when he's missing Puka Nacua, and he doesn't really have that great of a game.
No.
And I thought Brock dueled him in that game.
I dueled him, yeah.
But in the final stages of the game, Stafford delivers, and we come up short. And this brings me to my bigger point. 3 different times in my life, and this is the third one, I've felt defeated. And when I mean defeated, I mean like, damn, this run is over.
Oh, yeah.
03, when we got rid of Garrison Hurst, Jeff Garcia, and traded away T.O., every Niner fan like me, we felt defeated. Before the 04 season even started, it was a wrap.
Yep.
That era of Niner football was over. It felt like a complete reset. End of the Harbaugh era. Obviously, the Seahawk game, in retrospect, was the end. But the thud was really the Raider game.
Yeah.
I mean, we all remember when it was.
Could have been Turkey on a 50, but the Raider game.
It was all of those things. Yep. It was all of those things. We were done.
Yep.
We were done. And similar to Kaepernick, I believe that what I saw from Brock Purdy was real. I thought he was awesome. I thought he played great. He did play great. I know he did. In my heart of hearts, he played out of his mind. And I will go to my deathbed saying the same thing about Kaepernick. He did play great until he didn't. And then everything around him deteriorated, his play deteriorated, his body deteriorated, his confidence deteriorated. And that window and that era and that team was done. And I feel the same way about this team. Now, does that mean that next year they can't battle back and be a playoff? Of course, but it just feels like for a lot of guys on this team, and I'm not done with the coach. I actually think the coach did a good job yesterday.
I thought it was a good game plan.
Yeah, the guys fought hard. They don't have enough hogs. They're running out of bodies.
So they're running out of bodies. You think about the James Cook touchdown run.
Oh,
how about the...
Could someone make a tackle?
No. How about the angle by Jair Brown? Tig Brown has regressed at the safety position.
I know.
There's no doubt about
that.
He's regressed at the safety position. The angle was all-time bad. Now, I get it. Fred Warner wasn't on the field. But Fred Warner's been playing with a fractured ankle. What do you want from him? He left the game yesterday for a little bit. But James Cook breaks this long touchdown run. And you're thinking to myself, somebody's going to step up and make a play? Who's going to make a play? Nobody makes a play. Tig Brown takes the worst angle in the world. The worst angle in the world in the 65-yard James Cook touchdown. So when you talk about running out of bodies, but when you say the end, and I got the same feeling because during the game, I was building a Gabby dollhouse for my baby girl, baby Chess. We're building a Gabby dollhouse with the game on it. Just me and her.
Great birthday
me and
party.
Her. Me and her just chilling. She had the time of her life. So we're building, and I'm watching, and I'm locked in, and it took me all day long to build this dollhouse. And I had the same thought as you. Boy, this is how it's going to end with Debo Samuel. He fumbles yesterday. If you think about the episode with the incident with Tabor Pepper and what's transpired since then, Debo has been on a milk carton, and this is how it's ending.
It sucks, because I love Debo so much.
Kyle Juszczyk has got at it with the media. He's been a really good Niner.
I agree.
But he fumbles inside the 5 yesterday.
I know.
Fumbles inside the red zone when it was still a game.
When Mason and Guerrero are looking good.
Looking good.
But we haven't even got to CMC.
We'll get to CMC. Juszczyk fumbles. And I'm thinking, boy, this is how his Niners tenure is going to end, because he had to take a pay cut this past season to rejoin the squad. It's eroding around Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. And Deebo Samuel, the lack of separation, like, everybody's going to look at this year and just rip Deebo. He's been a really good Niner. He's produced memorable moments, iconic moments, big-time playoff games, big-time playoff runs, catches, you name it. But it's ending with the thud, just like Kyle Juszczyk. So there are shades of 2014. There are shades of old 04. Hell, there's shades of Jimmy Garoppolo in 2020, but he came back after the COVID year and actually played okay. Deebo, Juszczyk going down like that. Tig Brown taking bad angles. Leonard Floyd going MIA. Devondre Campbell, where's he at? Who knows? D-line getting pushed back. And then Christian McCaffrey's out there. And that's why I want to give Fred Warner and Christian McCaffrey all the props in the world. I'm not going to question toughness of players, of the Nick Boses or the Trent Williams and all these guys who have been out. But Fred Warner and Christian McCaffrey have every excuse and every reason to not play, Shasky. Fred Warner's out there playing on a fractured ankle with snow, trying to keep up with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
He's a shade of himself.
He's a shade of himself, and he's giving you everything he's got because he loves the game, and he loves the emblem on the helmet, and he's doing whatever he's got to do for his family and his fan base. Christian McCaffrey had bilateral Achilles tendonitis. How did we think this was going to end with Christian McCaffrey in 2024? And they say it's a knee injury. I had the calf move like a bullet was going through his calf or something. I've never seen anything like it. Even Kevin Durant, he's going to be out for the year. Those two guys are all-time gladiators, and it gave everything they had for this organization. When I look at other players on this team this year and holdouts and this and that, and I question, boy, Fred Warner and Chris McCaffrey are the leaders in this team, and there's nobody even close to them.
Well, I mean, look, later on this week, you and I
can... George Kittle, too.
Of course, George Kittle, but later on this week, you and I, because I already know what I want to do. I'm looking at this roster, and I'm not saying the season, you just wrap it up, because there's a lot of decisions to make on this roster, but I already know, like, off season, I want to do this, that, we'll get to that. CMC was absolutely cooking yesterday. He looked phenomenal. You know what it looked like? It looked like to me, he's like, screw it, I'm going to run as hard as I possibly can.
And he did.
He looked amazing. It reminded me of KD in the finals, where all of a sudden, KD is like, he's doing the river dance.
Yeah.
And he's cooking. And they said he hurt himself on the fall of the knee. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But like you, when they showed that reverse angle of him running and he went straight down, my heart sank. I called you. What did I say? I was almost going to cry.
Yeah, it was bad.
I was like, and my TV was ahead of yours.
You're right.
And I'm saying to myself, this poor guy, he might not ever be the same. We might not ever be able to see 2023 CMC ever again.
No, probably not.
I thought about Clay. I thought about KD. I thought about Navarro Bowman. I thought about all the great players that I know whose basically career arcs have been altered.
But you know what?
Because of horrible injuries.
But KD's the one exception.
No, I would
KD's
agree.
The one exception. KD looks like Kevin Durant.
But Bonte, he's got the best years.
No. You got the best years. But the Brooklyn year he had, he's still a very, very good player.
All right,
very, very good player. But to your point, Bowman.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
I mean, Clay Thompson.
When he went down the way he did, non-contact like that.
He just went right down.
And look,
and he was having one of those, he was having a turn back the clock game. And you never see the swagger with CMC either. When he broke that first run for a first down, and he does the first down, I said, CMC's ready to play.
He almost had snow. That he got tripped on the ankles.
Yeah, he got tripped on the ankles, but he gave you everything he had. And now he's probably going to be out. Who knows how long it's going to be out?
If you're a Niner fan, you're looking at this, you're like, Brandon Ayuk hasn't even had the surgery yet. His leg is so destroyed.
Has he had the surgery yet? Did he finally have it? I hope he had it.
No, because he was so swollen. Like, he has multiple injuries. Brandon Ayuk might not play. Let's just say minimum midseason. Yeah. Minimum. CMC? Who knows how long he's out? If you buy it at face value and it's just a knee, that's not good. PCL injuries can last 6 months.
Right.
If it's what I believe it to be, which is knee and some sort of calf injury, well, now we're in some deep water.
Well, you know, these next 5 weeks, 888-957-9570.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
I want to get everybody's thoughts here. 888-957-9570. Niners get rolled by Buffalo. Their season is basically on life support. We don't believe they can win. Seattle won yesterday in New York City. They're up two games on the 49ers. Really, probably the season ended at Levi Stadium when they lost to Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks. That was probably the season, even though they were mathematically still in it. They're still mathematically, but who the hell in their right mind thinks they're going to beat Miami and South Beach?
Bonte.
They might not beat Chicago next Sunday.
Bonte, I listen to Matt Maiocco, who has been covering this team for 30 years. Matt Maiocco is one of the most optimistic Niner fans out there. Would you guys agree?
Niner beat writers.
Niner beat writers out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, dude, I've never seen the Niners lose back-to-back games this bad. This is it. Jim Tom Sula was the last time they lost back-to-back games, 25-point blowouts. And even then, he said, those were late. They scored late to put a... They were down 25 for almost the entire second half.
I'll say the Green Bay game, it felt like they were in that game.
Fair.
So, but whatever. But here's the biggest takeaway. I mean, here's the biggest takeaway in these two games.
They're done.
Turnovers. Six turnovers to zero the last 2 weeks. Three turnovers in each game. And you got fumbles from Deebo Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk, and Brock Purdy. And that, to me, as I'm looking for dudes, this is what the next 5 weeks are. I wasn't saying taking, if you remember, after the Seattle game. I was saying, look, it's about seeing who I could bring into 2025. Isaac Grindo looks like a guy I could bring into 2025. Get him his space. The guy got speed. Let him play.
Jordan Mason, I thought, ran hard as hell.
Oh, well, Jordan Mason was once the leading rusher this season. Oh, go figure. He runs hard. That's why when I see him think about the run block, he went, Jordan Mason has ran great every single game.
Yeah.
And he showed you burst, okay? Juwan Jennings
is a player.
Lynn Eschmont Award winner, in my opinion, has been balling.
How about the diving catch? Down.
The diving catch, not getting tackled by multiple people, dragging dudes in the snow. George Kittle, another guy I can roll with. Give him the extension now. I want him to be a 49er for the rest of his career. Fred Warner, I know. Okay, get the ankle right.
Yeah.
They're coming back number 54. We'll see what happens with Drake Greenlaw because he's a free agent. We'll see if they re-sign him. But I'm looking for dudes I could take in the next season. Obviously, Deebo. And Kyle Juszczyk, the jig is probably up on them. And I'm not trying to be mean.
I love Deebo,
but
too.
But the jig is probably
it
up
sucks.
On them.
It sucks that it's going out like this. Like this, you know what this reminds me a lot of like the end of Hunter Pence's first tenure with the Giants, where he kind of went out weak and meager, you know? And it felt more like a gimmick than it did actual play. And it sucks. I watched the punter try to slide kick a guy on a return, and I was like, what?
O'Driscoll,
what are we doing? And then poor Jake Moody. Look, I have been, you know me. I'm the first to say Jake Moody hasn't been good. I'm not trying to, run him out of town. What is Kyle Shanahan doing kicking a 55-yard field goal multiple times in those conditions with a guy whose psyche is as fragile as my son's hands right now? What are we talking about, my one-year-old son? What are we why are you trotting that guy out there? All they did on offense was throw screen pass after screen pass after screen pass. If Brock can't throw it past 10 yards, why is he out there?
So
dude.
And that's
why is he out there?
And that's where I have problems with. People say, well, it was snowing. It's the elements.
No!
The good quarterbacks. I watched Joe Burrow in a playoff game, in a divisional round game in the snow, take the Cincinnati Bengals to Buffalo and carve up the Buffalo Bills a couple years ago.
We just watched Tua on Thanksgiving night. What did every fan say who's not a Dolphin fan? There's not a chance in hell Tua and the Dolphins win in under 40-degree weather. It's the same thing with Brock Purdy. If a little drizzle comes down, Brock Purdy is going to lose the ball in the pocket. And I love Brock, but Brock has been so underwhelming the last month and a half. Like, the facts are the facts. Against the top dogs in the league, he looks so subpar. And you know what the top dogs look like? Top dogs.
And
it pains me to say that.
So I saw a text here, Comcast Business Text Line, a little earlier today. It was saying, stop comparing Josh Allen to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's a top 10 to 13th quarterback. But we've argued on the show. We've had debates with fans. If I put Brock Purdy at number 8, people rip me, right? Oh, my God, how are you being too harsh on Brock Purdy? The gap between Brock Purdy and Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes,
Stafford,
Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford. Hell, I would say Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. He's having a nice little bounce back. He doesn't have Devontae Smith. He hasn't had Dallas Goedert. A.J. Brown's been out a couple games. Philadelphia's won 8 in a row. We don't make excuses out here. You tell me, Niner fans, at 888-957-9570, after watching that game last night and seeing him with the elbow wrap before the game. Because it's not just the shoulder. There's a heating pad, the heating pad that you should wear on that elbow.
I want to get into
on that elbow.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, wait, what's going on here? Is it the elbow or the shoulder? And you want to talk about zip in those elements where you need zip. You need the holes. You need to freaking be able to fire that baby down the field. Not one down the field throw. Not again, just screens and little crossers 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage.
Throwing behind guys, reluctant, pump faking. Dog, get rid of the ball.
I'm not paying that guy $60 million a year. I don't even know if I'm paying him $40 a year. And that's the decision you got to make, or it could be organizational suicide, and it could cost people jobs. We're going to get into it all. I see you on the lines. Line them up. 888-957-9570 is the number. Niners get rolled in Buffalo. Oh, it was ugly. We're going to talk about it. But by the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by the California Lottery.
Play clock running down. Johnson, the running back's wide left. Allen has time, throws to the corner, brought down by Matt Hollins, touchdown. Hollins uses the big frame in front of Ward.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Baldy will join us tomorrow right here on the Roast at 7:30 to break this game down. He was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
He was calling Arizona. And he was on we were listening to him on the radio.
Me too.
He was
the
great.
The worst interception I've ever seen from Kyler Murray.
He was locked in. You see him before the game talking to the players. Baldy loves it, man. He'll join us at 7:30 tomorrow.
James Conner.
He loves all those guys. He loves football. We love football. This was a great, great football week, and it ended with our 49ers. Leading up to it, I mean, college football, are you kidding me?
Bonte.
Are you kidding me with the college football games?
Going back to the Mayoko thing, he said in all his years covering the Niners, he's been in like below zero temperatures. Never has there been a snow flurry like that,
that was
during the game.
I wish I was there.
It was one of the most incredible settings I've ever
seen.
I wish
I was there.
It looked amazing.
I regret not being there. I do regret Bonte, not being there.
My boy Val was out there, and he was texting me, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry the Niners didn't show up, and did.
Our boy Ryan and Ive Lowe, who were out there with us in Philly. They were sending me videos
from
out there in Buffalo. They were tailgating and everything. They were out there in Buffalo. Raymond Davis, who we had on the show, his son, Ray Davis, scored a touchdown.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. First touchdown of the game, Ray Davis scores, and I thought about Raymond Davis. He was at the game, bundled up, on the field after the game, with his Ray Davis jersey on. So it was a great setting. I wish I was there. They built a new stadium right next door to Landmark Field.
This is what we should have done with Candlestick, but continue.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Here we go. Lost his mouth. We talked stadiums.
You can't tell me you didn't look at that stadium and say that stadium looks cool.
No, of course it does.
It looks amazing. And did you see what they built?
65% of the fans are going to be covered with the canopy.
Wait a minute, they built covers for the fans? They actually thought about them? Unlike us, sit in the sun, let it just give you cancer.
Don't do that.
Everything is wrong now.
Everything is wrong. No, when I say, hey, Spinoni, before the season, if the Niners the season goes awry, here comes stadium talk. It never fails. But I want to go to the Lions, man. Niners get rolled 35-10. Brock Purdy. There's two quarterbacks on the field. One looked like he didn't belong, and I don't give a damn if the field was covered in snow or not. Josh Allen is from California. He's a California boy. Now, I get it. He's gone to college in Wyoming, and he's gotten acclimated to the cold weather.
Iowa State.
I know.
It's got to be cold in Iowa State.
Yeah, no, it is cold. I was watching Aves, Kansas State, and Iowa State. Is Iowa State clinched their spot in the Big 12 championship? Coach Primedale could have got it if he used to be BYU, but that didn't happen. You're right. Iowa gets cold. I've never been there, but I'm sure it gets cold and wet and soggy.
You know what I feel like I'm watching with Brock Purdy? And I'm dead serious on this. At one point, I believe that Colin Kaepernick was the dude. And I truly believe he played great football. Great football. People can debate me on this, but let's go back and let's do a watch party. Let's watch all of the great games where I watched him go up to New England, where it was, remember the ice was coming down in New England, and he was whizzing the ball against Tom Brady. And he out-dueled Tom Brady in the snow, basically.
Kaepernick throwing a cover zero blitz.
He was so sick. And then eventually, like, the league adjusted. He didn't adjust. The team deteriorated. It wasn't one thing.
You had a Pop Warner coaching staff, basically, that he regressed so bad. We look at this last season with Chip Kelly. I'm telling you, man, I went to a lot of those games, covering those games that last year with Chip Kelly. There was nobody to stand.
Yeah, Jeremy Curley was their number one option.
Eddie DeBartolo got honored in a game against the New England Patriots, and nobody was in the bleachers because it was raining. It was stormy. It was kind of a microcosm of what that season has become. Kaepernick actually threw 16 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions on that roster.
Monte, he threw for negative 7 yards and a half against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, no,
they
get it.
They lost to Johnny Manziel.
Oh, I get it. But that season, he did throw for 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions with nobody.
Okay.
With nobody. But what I'm saying is he was good enough to be a backup in the league. We know what happened.
No, I agree. But he deteriorated. The team deteriorated. Jimmy Garoppolo, at one point, I thought Jimmy played great football.
Well, his body gave up.
Well, his confidence, his coaches' confidence. It was a variety of things.
But
I feel like I'm watching that again with Brock Purdy.
Well, again, the reason why I always play that clip with Shanahan on the TK show, Tim Kawakami, before the season, when Shanahan said, well, it's different when you play at a quarterback $40 million as opposed to having him on a rookie deal. How do you build? How do you build a roster around him? Do you build a roster around him? You have all these questions. And right then and there, we looked at each other and I said, Shanahan has his loophole. Shanahan's already thinking about the future. He's already thinking, am I going to pay this guy $40 to $50 to $60 million a year? I'm not sure I want to do that. And we know the patience level with Shanahan. So when we watch this play out, and I want to see Brock Purdy play every single game against Chicago, a tough defense. I want to see him play against Miami, who's playing better, even though they lost to Green Bay. But they're playing better, and they have an outside shot at the playoff spot. The Rams are playing for a division. The Cardinals are playing for a division. So you got, and then you got the Detroit Lions, of course, on the 30th, which doesn't look pretty because you got the worst run defense right now in the league, and they're going to run the ball right down your throats and pay you back for the NFC Championship game. The Brock Purdy conversation is going to be real. And I'm looking around the league. Sam Darnold's going to be a free agent. Kirk Cousins is playing his way out of Atlanta. You don't think they're starting to beat the drum for Michael Penix Jr.?
He threw one of the most horrible lollipop interceptions to the out.
He threw 4 picks.
That's horrible.
So, to say to Brock Purdy, and when Tom Brady and Baldy came on the show and mentioned this, the conversation with Tom Brady, I don't want to hear anything about having players on the field. It's your job to elevate your skill position players. And I look at the target share. I look at the target share yesterday on the field, Chaska. I know I'm long-winded here. But George Kittle, 1 target. Ricky Pearsall, 1 target. Excuse me, George Kittle, 2 targets.
One was behind him late in the game and hit him in the hand.
Yeah, Ricky Pearsall, 1 target.
It looked like the quarterback couldn't throw the ball more than 8 yards. I know he threw 1 wobbler to Juwan Jennings on a timing out route. It was nice. He got so lucky on the illegal contact play. He threw one of the worst interceptions. It was 15 yards short of its intended target.
And why are you throwing the ball
there? It looked like 3 flies up. I said, what is this guy doing? He went back to the middle of the field throwing a lob ball. He got so lucky. There's no way he saw the flag in the snow. There's just no way. No one can tell me. It was one of the worst picks I've ever seen.
It was terrible.
The reality is that, yeah, we have a quarterback situation. That doesn't mean that I don't want to. If you told me right now, could you keep him on a 2-year, $30 million per year deal? Yeah, I'd probably do it. But I'm still searching for a guy. You cannot tell me the coach is confident in him when they're down 4 scores, not 3 scores, 4 scores, and 7 years ago, 4 scores late in the third quarter, and they're huddling up and running max protection, run plays. Listen. What the hell are we doing?
Well,
run some no huddle. Let's go 4 or 5 wide. Let's go. Let's go. Speed it up. You're down 25, Shanahan. The season's on the line. Run. You're running the ball. You're down 4 scores. Not 3 scores. 4 scores.
But
you can't stop a nosebleed.
Hold on.
Hey, let's huddle up. Everyone come together. We're going to hike in with 1 second left. What the hell are we doing?
But no, Shasky, you just mentioned it. You can't get mad about not going no huddle. When you just mentioned that the quarterback can't throw more than 8 yards.
Then why is he playing?
So what is the coach going to do? He's got to evaluate this guy. You got to evaluate this guy and say, you know what? But at the same time, too, it's the coach's job to protect the players. And what I mean by that is you got no shot of winning that football game. So how do I get out of this game with less injuries? I've already got Trent Williams and Nick Bosa back at home.
About Brock being hurt?
It's not just Brock. It's everybody else. You want to live at that point? It's like, you know what? Shorten game. Get the hell out of here. We're not winning this football game. We're out because defensively, Nick Sorce is going to get a pass this week. He's awful. I don't want to hear from anybody who ridiculed me about Steve Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes looks like prime Belichick from the 80s, defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells, compared to Nick Sorensen.
Yeah, no doubt.
Come on, what are we doing?
I got a couple more thoughts here, but let's squeeze in a call. Let's get Dave South City.
David South City,
what's happening?
Hey, Dave.
How you doing there? I just, at the start of the game last night, McCafferty was looking pretty good. I'm sorry he got hurt. My prayers go out to him. I just think the 49ers should invest in snowmaking equipment for Levi so they can practice a little. I'm just trying to add a little humor. But I just don't know at this point. Maybe divine intervention. That's my thought.
No, I hear you.
Let's get Father Patrick on the line by 9 o'clock.
Let's get to Rob at San Bruno. Rob, what's happening, Rob?
What's going on, fellas?
The downfall is here?
Man, it's been here. Hey, look, that was pathetic. I thought we was going to lose, but I thought it was going to be a 19-17, 19-14, 21-18. That was pathetic. They quit. And look, remember 4 years ago when they played Buffalo and Allen put on the show against us, and that's the reason we drafted Trey Lance?
Yep, on Monday Night Football.
We seen a quarterback with a big arm who can run and do everything. Look, it wasn't snowing for Allen out there. He was still throwing strikes, still moving his legs. Cardi couldn't throw past 7 yards. That's pathetic. You know what I'm saying? We wasted all this. Now, we supposed to be competing for Super Bowls, right? That's why that was the thinking and not keeping Trey Lance, right? Oh, we got to develop him. Well, Purdy ain't that dude, man. We got to get over that. He's been exposed, all right? Case Keenum had a good season, went to a championship game. I mean, what's his name? Reggie Grossman went to a Super Bowl. It's been plenty of quarterbacks who had 1 or 2 year hiatus who was the guys, and then they turned out to be nuts. Sam Bradford had 1 or 2 good years. Man, look, Purdy ain't that dude. The mistake was giving up on Trey Lance. That was the problem. Sometimes, it's like they were talking about yesterday during the game, Chris Collinsworth, all that fancy plays, that's not going to work. It's about getting to your spot and making a play. Purdy couldn't make no plays. He had no natural ability to make plays. I thought Allen just made plays off his fear of God-given ability, and Purdy just didn't have it.
Yep. No doubt, Rob. No doubt, Rob. We're going to 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. When you have injuries to top-end players, it behooves you to build some depth behind them. And I want to get into the 2023-2022 draft because that draft class, those two draft classes, are hurting the 49ers right now in a major, major way. And I'll explain myself on the other side. Plus Shanahan. We'll evaluate Shanahan on how the job he did. Again, I don't think this season is solely on Shanahan. I don't want to fire Kyle Shanahan. I don't. I really don't. I thought he had a good game plan yesterday in the first half, but we'll get to Shanahan. Brock Purdy, what do you do with him? What do you do with this team? They're 5-7 right now. 5-7. I'm not optimistic either, BPA. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bake, celebrating 60 years of full-service baking with no compromises.
I got a joke for you, Bonte. What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
I got a joke for you too, Big Pun. Wait till you hear this joke. As the segment is sponsored by Go to Safe, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToSafeLover.com. Big Pun, you want to hear a joke? Shasky, you want to hear a joke? Spinotti and Carter, you want to hear a jokey joke? I got a jokey joke for everybody. Here's a credible Niner beat writer who's in Buffalo who was live streaming the other day. It swore up and down that Brock Purdy had been better than Josh Allen in his career. Like, swore up and down. Thought it was going to be a good game. But you know, this is what happens when you try to sweat tweet people and you're worried about the little things. Don't do that, man. Be better than that. Take the high road. Take the high road. And here I am talking about take the high road when I'm punching down. But seriously, you can't be out there as a credible member of the 49ers beat and out there telling your fan base, yeah, Brock Purdy's been better than Josh Allen throughout the entirety of his career. Like, just stop.
Well, it's a fairy tale, number one. And number two, like, bro, are you the 49ers historian? Are you running a Brock Purdy OnlyFans account? Or are you, like, trying to be a credible journalist? Because last time I checked, I was the fan. And you were the journalist. Josh Allen play and not see how great he is?
Well, you know, there's journalists who now become fans and they don't know how to take their underwear off. off, their Niner color underwear off, and it's like, well, you got to be objective at some point. You know, which one is it? Pick a lane. It's okay what lane you pick in. I don't judge. Just pick one. Don't oscillate between the two. And then lie to people saying that, yeah, Brock Purdy's been a lot better than Josh Allen. There's 32 GMs in the league. There's all these players in the league. There's all these execs in the league and all these coaches. Who's taking Brock Purdy over Josh Allen?
No one.
In their right mind.
No one.
And now we jerked the Kool-Aid. A lot of us jerked the Kool-Aid last season saying, oh, yeah, you know, Brock Purdy.
He was playing good football.
He was
playing great football.
But I didn't waver on that one. I was like, give me Josh Allen any day of the week.
But, Monte, like, this is who he's throwing to last night. This is Josh Allen. Matt Collins. Shakir.
Yeah.
Some guy named Q Morris, a tight end. Knox, everybody knows Knox.
Dalton Knox
fantasy.
Is good, and Dalton Kincaid. I don't think Dalton Kincaid played.
He did not suit up.
He didn't play.
He didn't suit up. And then James Cook, the running back, who I think most people were skeptical at coming into the year, right? Those are not household names. Now, this is who we were throwing to. George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, Debo Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk. The first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall.
The first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall, has 3 targets the last 2 weeks and no catches. I don't even know if it's on him when a quarterback's not throwing down the field.
Bonte, this has shades of 2014 written all over it. You were
AJ
talking about
Jenkins?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The reach? Well, but you were talking about the draft class, so I know you want to get to that, because part of why the Harbaugh era ended was because Trent Baalke could not refill the cupboard. It was part. There was many reasons, but one of the slices of the pie was that they couldn't refill the cupboard with talent, and you looked at those draft classes in 2013, 2014, yeah, heck, even some of 2012, and like LaMichael James doesn't turn into anything, and A.J. Jenkins doesn't turn into anything, and Quentin Dial doesn't turn into anything, and Corey Lemonnier doesn't turn into anything, and this big trade that you had with Alex Smith, you basically got Carlos Hyde, and you had like 5 picks, and you didn't net anything. And so at some point in the NFL, if you are not plug and play in the draft, you're doing it wrong. Now, everyone said to me before the year started, we have no holes. It's like, wait a minute. Linebacker, D-line, O-line. You took a freaking wide receiver. And like, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I'm actually ashamed of myself for not just stating the obvious. You took a wide receiver who on a team where you're a run first team and you were kind of like waffling as to whether you would pay Brandon Ayuk. You had Juwan Jennings just sitting there. All right. You had Debo Samuel, who you didn't deal at the deadline. Like, coming into the year, knowing you were going to sign Brandon Ayuk, he was going to be your 4th wide receiver. And you needed O-line help. You needed D-line help. You could have used secondary, because you could always use secondary. You could have used a linebacker. It was a horrific pick in terms of value.
So, let's get into the last 2. We're going to take some calls here. Everybody's going to get on here. 888-957-9570.
So I'm watching
Cooper DeJean, who we all thought, boy, he'll be a nice fit.
Yeah.
He'll play corner and safety. And you see what he's doing with Philadelphia. And he can return punts, kicks, but really punts. And his white boy could play. He could play. Oh, my gosh. You see him in Baltimore? He's getting better and better and better. They've won 8 straight games. But Cooper DeJean, as I watch Jair Brown take the worst angle in the world on James Cook's 65-yard touchdown run. Jair Brown has regressed. And I think the 49ers in their history, we always talk about quarterbacks and wide receivers and the great linebackers. I think safety has been a great position for the 49ers in franchise history. And we could go all down the names. But Jair Brown has taken a step back. And he was a third-round pick last season in 2023. Third-round pick. And I don't know if he's good or not. I don't know. He's a box safety.
So is Mustafa.
But even in the box, I see him miss tackles left and right. At least Mustafa, when he hits somebody,
he
popped James Cook yesterday. But you need a ball hawk in center field.
Yes.
Or you need a guy. Well, I've seen Cooper DeJean over the last couple weeks take Cooper Kupp in the slot. Cooper Kupp runs a pivot route, and Cooper DeJean doesn't flinch, and he's all over him. Punt, fourth down, fist up, get off the field. Yesterday, Derrick Henry's in the flat, and it's basically one-on-one with the rookie from Iowa. And Cooper DeJean is getting up, talking, and dancing. I'm saying, oh, my God, Philadelphia got them one. They got Jalen Carter, and I got Cooper DeJean. And think about what Philly did. They say, Javon Hargrave, you could just walk. We're going to draft Jalen Carter from Georgia, and we'll make him a player. And guess what? The second year, he's a player, Shasky. He's a player. But when we think about Pearsall, and again, we're going to monitor this. The Niners take him at 31. At 32, Shasky, they take Xavier Legette, the Carolina Panthers. He looks like he could be a good player. Keon Coleman, Buffalo, didn't play yesterday. He was starting to sin. Looks like he could be a good player. You see the vision with Josh Allen. It didn't lap McConkey and the Chargers. All he's doing is making plays. I know he left the game yesterday with an injury, but before then, he was making plays.
Yeah, him and Brian Thomas have more yards than Debo and IU combined this year.
So, when I think about that, and I think about Ricky Pearsall getting three targets in the last two games and no catches and no yards, and look, our reaction to when Ricky Pearsall got drafted was, oh, bleep, what are we doing? Who? What? Florida's been trash.
Yeah.
Even though they beat up on my Seminoles on Saturday, I get it, but Ricky Pearsall, he may turn out to be a great player, but the hype that he got, yeah, people saying that, you know, he could be as good as Puka Nacua. Yet, the play-on-play announcer, I love my guy. The week he was getting activated, he say he's the best route runner on the team. Yet, he can't get a target? So,
I don't know.
You talk about the draft allocation, and you look at the last two drafts, and a game like last night, when you got Trent Williams and Bosa and all these guys out, Drake Jackson, 2022 second-round pick, out for the season. TDP, Ty Davis Price, not even on the roster.
No.
Danny Gray, not on the roster. Spencer Burford, can't get a sniff. Sammy Womack, not on the roster.
Making plays for another team. What team is he on?
Oh, I think he's on the Colts. He's on the Colts.
Yeah, just watch him make a play. Yeah, that pass breakup.
Yeah, they won a game in New England yesterday. Nick Zekiel, where's he at? Outside linebacker. Kalia Davis, spot starter here and there.
Spot starter because you have no one.
Tariq Castro Fields, not on the roster. Brock Purdy saved the 2022 draft class. All right, now we get to 2023. Jalen Graham, not getting a sniff. Ronnie Bell, cut Friday.
Yeah.
Cut on Friday.
That was the most random cut. Why didn't you do it
after the Rams game? Do it after the Rams game? Braden Willis, where's he at?
Practice squad?
D Winners.
He made some plays.
He made some plays, okay.
But their insistence on playing Devondre Campbell is just mind-boggling.
Robert Beal?
He's on the D-line. It's a stretch.
Daryl Luter?
Not on the team anymore.
Cameron Latu?
He keeps getting pushed back into special teams, remember? Returners. Yeah.
Cameron Latu?
I don't think he got cut outright.
Yeah. Not good.
He had no hands. Although he did catch the final touchdown pass from Trey Lance in a preseason game.
He did.
He has that.
Jake Moody.
Jake Moody.
Now he sent the Super Bowl.
You got him to kick in inclement weather and in long distances, and I can't even trust him in dry weather. What are we doing?
Well, Mike Tirico had the great line. He goes, he's from Michigan, so he's used to kicking in the elements. He made the first one. And then the next two weren't even close. And then,
I mean, the one that he missed, the second one, and then the very next play, like, so you lost CMC, he missed a field goal. This happened in succession.
Yeah.
You lose CMC, he misses a field goal, and then 65-yard touchdown.
James Cook, just like that.
Where no one touches him.
Boom, boom, boom. Well, you know why? Because the next guy I'm going to bring up in the 2023 draft, Jair Brown comes out. By the way, number 41, I need to find his number. Number 41 on the roster for the 49ers. I had no idea who number 41 was. I was like, who's number 41?
Cherry flavored bourbon? Never heard of it.
Gilman.
I don't know.
Someone.
Google it.
Anybody. The linebacker core on that play was all-time bad. They get snuffed out on the 65-yarder. But Jair Brown comes down to the box. He's got a great play to make a primetime play on Sunday Night Football against James Cook. Get him in the hole. Let's go. Just whips. Just outright.